You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This school year, California rolled out a first-in-the-nation universal meal program. Students, regardless of income, receive two free meals each school day across the state. And California is taking access to nutritious food a step further. The farm-to-school program connects local farmers with schools. The goal is that students have access to nutritious, locally sourced food, which in turn supports the local ag economy. The funding really started 2 years ago by the state legislature and has been scaling up ever since. Governor Gavin Newsom says this initiative is also a solution in the toolbox for climate change because keeping food distribution and production local is more sustainable for the planet.
Mother Nature, I say this all the time, she bats last, she bats a thousand. We're on the tip of the spear in terms of an appreciation, a humility around the issues of climate change, but also the tip of the spear in terms of how we address it, how we take responsibility, because we're not victims. We can shape the future. It's decisions, not conditions, that determine our fate and future.
And both of these school initiatives have the leadership of First Partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom. Her office says since 2021, the Farm to School program has helped close to 1.5 million students, more than 150 school districts, and over 50 farms. But that is just a fraction of California's more than 5 million students and roughly 1,000 school districts. We'll get to the logistical challenges of scaling up this program in just a minute. But first, I spoke with the First Partner, who talked about the importance of Farm to School at Soilborne Farms in Sacramento County.
We live in this fast food culture, and we are moving so quickly with modern day technology. So Farm to School is really part of this larger intersectional agenda to help kids be healthy, to ensure, again, they're getting the freshest, most delicious, nutritious food that will help their academic prowess and their mental health and well-being. And separately, it's about growing food service careers, growing local economies, and allying and partnering with farmers, especially small and medium scale BIPOC farmers who are on the scale towards regenerative and climate smart agriculture. And, you know, it's such a gift that California is such a big agricultural state, producing 2/3 of the nation's fruits and nuts and 1/3 of the nation's vegetables. And we all know it's a benefit to the environment if there's less transport, and again, if we're practicing climate-smart agriculture.
You know, given that this funding started a couple years ago for the 2021-2022 legislative session, you know, there's over 1,000 school districts, and you said it yourself that the past couple years have been really challenging for schools, food service employees, and school staff. How do you support schools to achieve these really lofty goals with the best intentions for children in a way that's realistic for them, because many schools and campuses are already struggling?
So we've designed a roadmap, and we have these grants. This year, we're doling out $60 million to those in the farm to school sector to ensure that they can take steps forward. Maybe it's just a school garden. Maybe it's just sourcing, you know, the seasonal harvest of the month product. Maybe it's a connection with one local farmer. It can start small. The point is, we're trying to educate kids on healthy nutrition. They bring that learning home to their families, which then improves the health and well-being of the family. And again, we're teaching kids to be our climate stewards, our future climate stewards. And that's what's so exciting to me, because I got my introduction to climate in Montessori. And I, shortly after college, worked for Conservation International and have been committed to that work ever since. So this is like all about growing awareness, growing opportunity, and again, growing the economy and reducing the impact on Mother Nature.
What are the biggest changes you've seen in the last couple of years since this is rolled out? It's incremental, it's in its infancy, but what have been the biggest changes you've seen?
I've visited schools where the meals are like 5-star. They're so colorful. They're so delicious. By the way, they may be vegan or vegetarian and nobody's complaining. It's transformative. And we have so many partners in the farming community that are our allies and, again, just needed this incentive. And then our apprenticeship programs, we're currently right now with the Chef Ann Foundation, folks are gaining the skills to have real food service careers. and real jobs that can then support their families. So that's just what's so exciting to me.
That is California First partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom talking about the importance of farm to school, with the goal of connecting schools across the state with locally sourced food by partnering with farmers and ranchers. We're going to listen to the challenges facing food service workers on campus in just a moment. But really, a pioneer in California's farm to table cuisine is Alice Waters. We can see her touch in countless restaurants, from affordable to those reserved for special occasions. Alice has been based in the Bay Area since attending UC Berkeley in the 1960s, part of the free speech movement on campus during the civil rights era, and activism has really long been interwoven with her relationship to food. I spoke with Alice Waters about the importance of California's farm-to-school program, which hits close to her own kitchen. Alice is also the founder of the Edible Schoolyard Project. That's a nonprofit which started with a one-acre garden at a Berkeley public school back in 1995 and has since grown to dozens of schools across the world.
You opened Chez Panisse in 1971. That was more than 50 years ago. You obviously went to UC Berkeley as well, and you're really one of these founding people when it comes to a term that can be, is very commonplace now, farm to table. If we can kind of go back to that time, what was lacking when it came to our relationship with food and this disconnect from it being really a lifestyle?
We are what we eat. And I remember the times back in the 70s, and, well, actually way before that. I grew up in New Jersey, and it was before fast food. Fast food came in the 50s, and it not only was feeding us food that wasn't good for us, but it was feeding us the values that have changed this country. And the ideas that everything should be fast, cheap, and easy for a starter, and that more is better, that time is money, that everything should be available 24/7, that it's okay to waste. There's always more where that came from. And the idea that we started buying food from around the world, that was never the case before about 1950. We only ate local food. And so after I'd spent a year in France, after the free speech movement in Berkeley.
You were studying abroad, correct?
I was. But I thought I was there to study the culture of France. And I really did. I ate my way through France. And I came back and I wanted to live like that. And so I thought, well, maybe if I opened a restaurant. But then I discovered the local organic farming. Farmers and ranchers. And once I got connected with that seasonal food that was locally produced, I never looked back. And you can't have ripeness if you're picking food from around the world and shipping it.
We often connect access to fresh, locally sourced food to socioeconomics and means, and it's the cost of living here is increasingly more difficult for people. What advice would you have to someone who doesn't feel that they or their family can afford organic fresh food? How do they start?
Say I have a little strip of land between the sidewalk and the street. They can do what Ron Finley did in L.A. and plant food. Now, I know that you need to know how to cook vegetables that are really tasty. But I have written just now a cookbook for school lunch that's very diverse in terms of cuisine, but that fits into the USD reimbursement. And I bought all the food retail organic, all of it. And I know that we can do this. We just have to put our minds to it. So this is a celebration of farm to school. But I like to call it school-supported agriculture, because I want more than the farmer bringing food to the school. I want us to say we want to pay the real cost, no middleman in between taking a cut. So I can give the farmer, the rancher, the fisher, the real cost of the food, because we can't make less expensive, organically, regeneratively grown food. It's hard work, and we want to pay the farm workers. We want to pay everybody. And so I'd like to think of it that way.
You mentioned the free speech movement. Your relationship with food has always been interwoven with activism as well. Where does that stand today in California?
Well, unfortunately, it hasn't been woven together in the way that Mario Savio did for me. He always talked about a big picture of education and understanding about how we want to live our lives and encouraging someone like myself to do work that was meaningful. And that gave me the encouragement about the power of food, the power of real food to make change. So I don't like to really talk to people. I like to feed them the idea better.
And that one vision at your restaurant, now you can see that at so many restaurants, at so many, at varying price points as well.
Right, instead of having lots of something that you, I just wanted one that was done in the way that I loved. And that's what the school project was about too, giving it all the resources that would make a model that people could see and really understand how change was happening at that school. I mean, because there's so many sort of halfway to good, and I want it all the way.
Yeah, the value in being thoughtful and simple.
Very clear, because we don't have those models. And I guess that's what I experienced in France, was a little restaurant that was just small, but so good. Or a little bakery that was just baking baguettes, not trying to have 100, just one. It was a way of life.
And that is Alice Waters, the legendary chef behind Chez Panisse in Berkeley and pioneer of California's farm-to-table cuisine. Alice is also the founder of the Edible Schoolyard Project, which has food-producing gardens for students. It started in 1995 at a public school in Berkeley, and the nonprofit has grown to dozens of campuses worldwide. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're learning more about California's farm-to-school program, which has a goal of partnering with farmers and ranchers to provide free, locally sourced meals across the state's more than 1,000 school districts. There is a great deal of enthusiasm behind this initiative, but is it realistic given the challenges facing school staff, including food service workers? Logistically, what needs to happen to make it manageable for a campus workforce that can be burnt out following the pandemic, understaffed, and struggling with inflation as well as a rising cost of living? Diane Prant-Hevener is with the School Nutrition Association. They are a national nonprofit that supports the people who plan, prepare, and serve healthy school meals. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is the mission of the School Nutrition Association, the SNA?
We are a professional organization representing everyone who works so hard to serve students healthy meals each day. The folks who are cooks and cashiers and cafeteria managers and those operating at the district level to procure all the foods for school meals, plan the menus, make sure they're following federal regulations.
So I doubt that there are many people who would disagree with a goal for children to have access to locally grown, nutritious food across public schools. But from your nonprofit standpoint, what is missing from this conversation?
Well, first off, I'd like to stress that schools nationwide have been working really hard to increase local purchases for their school meal programs. The Farm to School program has made revolutionary changes in school cafeterias, particularly over the last decade, as schools have met updated nutrition standards for school meals that provide a wider variety of fresh fruits, vegetables, with every school meal. You know, schools have to serve weekly offerings of dark leafy greens, red orange vegetables, and legumes. And you know, schools really want kids to eat these choices. The last thing they want to do is see those foods go in the trash or not be picked up by kids at all. So many schools nationwide are implementing Harvest the Month programs, engaging in school gardens, even getting farmers to come out and visit the cafeteria because they want kids to know where their food's grown and have another reason to give an unfamiliar fruit or a vegetable a try.
Hmm. Logistically, I mean, these are very ambitious goals, from universal meals in California to farm to school. But logistically, what are the challenges in making this a realistic lift for people that are actually going to have to prepare these meals for children?
Yeah, you know, first off, I'd like to say how wonderful it is to see state leaders stepping up and recognizing the value of investing in school meal programs. You know, research from Tufts University shows that school meals are the healthiest meals that Americans are eating today, and that school food is far healthier than what families are getting from grocery stores and restaurants. But to sustain that progress and to build on it, schools need more support, especially financial support, which we're seeing in California. You know, schools right now are really struggling with the rising costs of food, as well as supply chain disruptions, which put additional financial pressures, staff shortages. They're having to increase salaries and wages to be able to bring, you know, new folks into the cafeteria and have their school kitchens fully staffed. Congress recognized that schools needed additional financial support, and the Keep Kids Fed Act passed last year have been providing schools an additional 40 cents per lunch and 15 cents per breakfast, but that funding's about to expire in July. School meal programs are facing tremendous financial pressures starting next school year. So every bit of state support, you know, stepping in to provide schools additional funding, whether it be for local produce or for kitchen equipment and infrastructure investments, that's going to make a tremendous difference in helping California school meal programs weather this financial crisis.
When it comes to staffing shortages, you know, I think about, okay, so this is relying or partnering directly with local farmers and ranchers. There's really no middleman. Is that a seamless transition when going from like a big food distributor? What are the small but meaningful differences that really add up to a workday?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important that you point this out. Schools are utilizing a variety of approaches to bring in more local produce into the cafeteria. If they can't work directly with a local farmer, they quite often can work with their distributor to write into their bid contracts and bid requests a preference for local produce. When schools do go out to work with an individual local farmer, sometimes they can't access the level of service that they might be able to get from their broadline distributor. You know, quite often schools are limited with staffing and time in the kitchen, may need additional services, somebody to wash, cut, and package the produce for grab and go breakfast or lunch options. And sometimes the small local farmer can't provide that additional service, and it requires some additional staff training and labor and kitchen equipment to make that a reality. Now, schools are trying to work through those challenges, but it's definitely a very real issue for many school districts across the country right now.
Mm. As it stands now in California, what response, what feedback are you getting from food employees on school campuses? We have more than 1,000 school districts.
Yeah, I think our California School Nutrition Association members are incredibly grateful for the support that they're receiving from their California leadership, not only in these additional funds for local purchases, but especially in the state support for universal free meals. Congress had provided throughout the pandemic free meals for all students, but for most of the country, that benefit went away. And that not only impacts families, it also really impacts school meal programs. The fewer meals that a program serves, the less revenue that they have coming in to support investments in the menu, like increasing local purchases. You also have school nutrition staff having to spend a lot of time at the point of sale figuring out, who's eligible for a free meal, monitoring that process. So, being able to offer all students a free meal without, without worrying about whether kids have unpaid meal debt and some of these other concerns that go along with charging so many of our students for meals, that's a huge advantage for California districts right now.
Finally, what I'm learning from you, especially when I think of the staffing issue and scaling up these really, promising, robust initiatives from Universal Meals, which is free school meals regardless of income for every student, that is producing more meals in addition to the challenges that can come with farm to school. When it comes to supporting school staff and food service workers to make these additional requirements in the best interests of children realistic, what improvements would your nonprofit like to see take shape?
Well, we are urging Congress to provide schools a higher reimbursement rate permanently to help support these initiatives and ensure that schools can cover the costs of preparing healthy meals that meet federal nutrition standards. We are also urging Congress to provide free meals to all students nationwide. Whether a student is in California or Connecticut, their basic nutritional needs are the same. And, there are so many benefits to just offering free meals to all students, just like we provide a ride to school or, a laptop or a book to help them learn. School meals are healthy meals that nourish students for success in and out of the classroom.
Diane, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Diane Pratt Hevener is with the School Nutrition Association. They are a national nonprofit organization that supports the people who prepare and serve healthy school meals. And they are discussing California's Farm to School program, which has a goal of partnering with local farmers and ranchers to provide free, locally sourced meals across the state's more than 1,000 school districts. Still ahead, wildflower super blooms have made a triumphant return to California, but they won't last that much longer. We're going to take a tour around the state for the best spots and learn what's being done to balance access with preservation. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.